An apostle is a missionary. See, the highest office, the greatest gift, and the greatest calling in the Lord's church is not the pastor. That's kind of an American cultural thing, but it's not biblical. The highest position in the church, the highest gift that God gives somebody, the best gift God gives somebody is to be a missionary. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I've got the stuff that it takes to be a missionary. I really respect these people. Now, God could give me grace and ability, and I've talked to my wife many times, and we're always asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do? And we're convinced this is what God wants us to do, is pastor this church and try to open up some other churches in this area. But I don't think I've got the stuff it takes to be a missionary. I really don't. I respect them so much. They're like the Marine Corps of the Lord's church. I mean, they are out there on the front lines, the battleground. They're going to fields that have never been gone to before. I'm pastoring in Eden, you know, a country that had a Christian foundation 250 years ago. And it says here in our text, verse 28, secondarily prophets. That's your preachers, that's your pastors, your evangelists, and so on and so forth. Thirdly, teachers. So please, those of you that are teachers in any capacity, take very, very seriously what you do. I don't care if you just teach a little Sunday school class of two people. That is a high calling that God has on your life. And if you work in the Patch the Pirate clubs on Wednesday nights or kids clubs on Sunday nights, junior church Sunday morning, bus route, you teach teenagers, you teach adults, senior citizens, I don't care what you do. If you're a teacher, what you're doing is a very, very high calling in the Lord's work. Be the best teacher you can possibly be. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, those that are sent, the missionaries, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Then it goes on and talks other things that are also important. Talks about helps there in verse 28. We just need helpers. Every church needs helpers. We need someone to help with the dinners. We need someone to mow the grass, paint the walls, and fix holes in the walls that Ty was talking about. People that can just help in ministries. Maybe you can't lead the youth, but you help drive the bus or gather teens together, go to youth rallies, so on and so forth. We need people. Look, it says helps there in verse 28. You don't have to sit around and think, well, I can't preach, and I can't teach, and I can't sing, so what can I do? Man, every ministry you can think of needs helpers. We need those that'll minister in the gift of helps. Notice it says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And it just told us what the best ones were. The missionaries. The missionaries. Now, we want to have a church here that keeps first what God keeps first. This is His church. It's not mine. Sometimes I correct people. You go to Pastor Cole's church. That's not mine. I hope it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's church. I'm going to die someday. And I hope it's the Lord's church and it'll still go forward in a healthy way and try to reach souls. The next pastor will come in and do a good job. This isn't my church. It's the Lord's church. And we need to keep first in the Lord's church what He keeps first. And so I want to talk about the stewardship of missionaries today. Our stewardship of missionaries is what I want to speak on. Keeping the apostles first. Not looking down on them, not ignoring them, not avoiding them, but realizing, hey, these are some great, great people. Missionaries are people who go, well, you can be a missionary. You can walk across the street and tell someone about Jesus Christ, and you're a missionary. Amen? But a lot of times when we think of apostles or missionaries, we think of those that are sent to the regions beyond to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who have never heard that God loves them and that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to save them from their sins and to shed His blood on that cross and take their place and to pay their fine The wages of sin is death. The fine for our sins is death. And Christ paid our fine in full. And there's a whole world of people out there that have never yet heard that, and that Jesus can save them. And you know something? Jesus does not need your help in saving your soul. Some people think, well, I'll help him out. I'll get baptized, and I'll take my first communion, and I'll participate in the sacraments, and I'll go to church faithfully, and I'll give money, and I'll say prayers, and I'll do all these things out. I'll help the Lord out and save me. He doesn't need your help saving your soul. He's plenty powerful enough to save your soul all by himself. Jesus saves. And you can trust in Christ as your Savior, and it'll be finished. He'll do the whole job. Now, it's not wrong doing those other things after you're saved, but not to be saved. And people all over the world need to hear the message that Jesus is enough. That God the Father, his wrath and his anger that has settled on all men and women because of our sin, was satisfied when Christ died in our place on the cross and was buried in an empty tomb, for a borrowed tomb, for 3 days and three nights, and then rose from the grave victoriously, and Christ is alive forevermore. And everybody on earth needs to hear that Jesus saves. And the dearest thing to the heart of God, the dearest thing to the heart of God, is when some human being tells another human being about his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have got to send forth missionaries to the regions beyond, to people that have never heard that story. We've got to do it. Currently, our church is supporting about 104 missionaries around the world. Every month we send them money. We pray for them. We get their letters. We get about 1,400 letters a year from the mission field in the mail. We pass these letters out to people, and we say, would you please read this letter? Would you pray specifically for their prayer request in whatever country they're in? And would you pray for them? Read their letters and be familiar with them. And then we collect money. We not only pray for them, we collect money through Faith Promise Missions Giving. That card's in your bulletin. I'm not going to talk about giving. I'm not going to talk about money today. But there are many of us that give. This year, we're on a course to give $102,000 to missions to help missionaries around the world. We've got money now to take on more missionaries because some of you have been so generous in giving to missionaries. And we're excited about that. We've got some missionaries coming next week to our missions conference. Please come back. We got Dr. Ken Fielder, who will be speaking in this pulpit next Sunday morning. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. What a man of God he is. Oh, how the good Lord has used him. And he's a good speaker, too. He's going to bless your heart. And I think we've got about five or six missionary families coming. One's going to Austria. One's going to France. One's going to South Africa. One's going to India. And what am I forgetting, brother? Philippines. All right. And you're going to meet them. We're also going to Skype missionaries on the field. We're going to talk to them live on their field from different countries. We're going to pull the screen down, and we're going to Skype them using their computers and ours so that we'll be able to see them live on their mission field and ask them questions and talk back and forth to them every single night. We'll have a presentation every single night from a different missionary going to a different country. And maybe they've been there before. Some of these are new missionaries that haven't been there before, but we're trying to help get them there. It's going to be exciting times. And I want you to bring your children. I want you to bring your teens. Almost every missionary you ever meet will tell you God called them when they were a child to be a missionary. God put it in their hearts. Or God put it in their hearts when they're, don't keep your children away. Listen, it's the highest calling a parent can ever have, is to have one of their children called by God to give the rest of their life to take the gospel of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to some country in the world. Bring your children. Bring your teens. Come one night. Come every night. Come as many times as you possibly can. Open up your heart. If you are not going to go, if I am not going to go to the mission field, then it is our obligation to help send them that want to go to the mission field and get behind them. Missionaries come out of local churches like ours. I want to show you an example of that. If you'll turn back to Acts chapter 13, here's five men in a church. They're just minding their own business, serving the Lord. Acts 13, church just like ours. And this is the pattern we follow to this day. It says in verse number 1, and there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now that phrase, in the church, we just read that in our text, in the church. God hath set in the church. Did you know that the church is where we are, and the church is what we are? Did you know the Bible gives both definitions? The church is where we are, and the church is what we are. The church is this building here at 8688 South Main Street, where we are. But the church is also what we are. That's the people who are gathered. I mean, if we took all of us and left this building and went out underneath a tree somewhere, we'd still be the church. So the church is where we are, and the church is what we are. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. That's the highest rank, if you want to use that, of gifts. And so there were in the church, which is at Antioch here in verse 1, and I want to encourage you the rest of your life, be in the church. Find a church somewhere you can go to the rest of your life. Maybe you'd unite with us. Maybe you're from out of town, or maybe you're going to move someday. When you move, find a church to go to. And get in church. Stay in church. Things happen when people are in church. Notice what happens here. Now there was in the church, which was at Antioch, now Antioch's about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, certain prophets and teachers, it gives their names, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and then Saul, verse number 1. Saul would later famously become known as Paul, who would write 14 of the books of the New Testament and himself go on 3 amazing missionary journeys. He would become one of the most renowned missionaries in all of Christian history. He's going to leave this church, in other words, and he's going to go to different countries and different cities, get people saved, and then organize them into a local church, and then go to the next city, and to the next city, and the next. That's what missionaries do. Now notice how it happens, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, in other words, these five guys just got busy in their local church. They didn't sit around waiting for God to call them. They got busy in their local church being what? Prophets and teachers. What number is that in gifts? We already learned this. What number is the prophets? 2. What number are the teachers? 3. All right? God has set them, and so they're busy. It says, and they ministered, as they ministered to the Lord, they're called prophets and teachers in verse 1. And as they were doing this and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me 2 of these men. There's 5 of them. He says, I want to call 2 of them, Barnabas and Saul, who's also known as Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. What does the word apostles mean? One sent. One sent. The missionaries, the local church, sends the missionaries after they had prayed and fasted and laid their hands on them. Very soon, we're going to have an ordination service at this church for Chris Barron. He's not here this morning. He'll be with us next week. He's a member of our church. He's been here for 15 years, except for the time he was in Bible college. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, are going to Cebu in the Philippines to be missionaries. Probably, hopefully, for the rest of their life. We don't know. That's God's business. And what are they going to do when they get there? Same thing we're trying to do here. Get some people saved. Try to disciple those people. Organize a local church and build them up in the faith. And then from that church, they'll send missionaries out. And they'll support other missionaries. And this is how this ripple effect reaches the world with the gospel. And so we're going to ordain Chris Barron here pretty soon, and then we're going to send him away. I believe it's going to be March of next year. He and his wife will go off to the Philippines. Now, those other 100 we support aren't from our church. They're from other local churches, but we get behind them financially. We get behind them financially. And so they being sent forth, verse 4, by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and it tells thus the different places that they go. And they took a young man with them in training, and it says, and they also had at the end of verse 5, John to their minister, and John kind of fizzled out on this first missionary journey. It says in verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. Well, that's where Mom lived. Mom had a great prayer meeting there once in Acts chapter 12. You can read about that. Now John, his surname is Mark. Okay, so he goes on the first missionary journey, but he fizzles out. You know, that happens sometimes. Let me just say something here. Do not look down on the missionary who only lasts for one term. Some of them do. A lot of them, about half of them only last about one term. Believe me, they've done more than I could ever do. I don't think I could last one term. I don't know. I got respect for anyone who tries. Anyone who tries to go to the mission field. You try it. If you don't think it's one of the hardest things a person attempts in their life, then you try to go to the mission field, to leave the America, to leave our culture, to have to learn sometimes a new language, a new culture, to go where people do not like you in many cases. I got a lot of respect for those that even try. Now, he came back, and he went back to Mom in Jerusalem. But you know something? The Bible tells us that later on in in chapter 15, he gets a second chance. Chapter 15, verse 36, verse 37 says, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Verse 39, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. This time Mark went with Barnabas and stayed and helped. And then the other guy, and Barnabas and Saul had a big contention about this. Saul said, I don't want to take him this time. He quit on us last time. But Barnabas said, I do want to take him. And Barnabas was related to Mark, and he gave him a second chance, and I'm glad that he did. Because when Paul, who didn't want to take him on the second journey, when Paul was writing his last letter of 14 books in the Bible, he said this in the last chapter, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. He said this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Yeah, he fizzled out first, but he got a second chance under Barnabas. And he ended up becoming profitable for even Paul in the ministry, and said, Bring Mark to me. I need him. I need his help. He's a good man. He was so good. Guess what the Lord did? The Lord chose him to write the second gospel. We call it the Gospel of Mark. So don't look down on quitters. And if you're here today and you've fallen and you've quit, or you gave up, or you used to do this, or used to do this, or used to do this, and now you're not doing anything, you know what? The Lord can still use you. Right. You just get back at it. Right. You just get back at it, and you may become something great for God. Mark became a great man of God, even though he fizzled out. That's going to happen. Some of these missionaries, Pastor Seth can tell you, they last a term, and they come back, things don't work out. And they come back to the States, and then we find another missionary somewhere to support in their place who's going out. There's always someone going out. But don't ever look down on them. Just thank God they tried. And they did something for God when they were over there, too. We need to be good stewards of these missionaries. We need to be good stewards. They have the highest place. You, look, you take good care of me as your pastor. Believe me, you do. I feel a lot of love, a lot of appreciation, and you you meet our needs and so on and so forth. I appreciate that. You minister to me. I think you've been a good steward of your pastor all these 28 years. Our assistant pastor, Pastor Seth. Staff members, you've been good stewards in taking care of them. But we need to be good stewards in taking care of the missionaries too. When they come by next week, you be a friend to them. You encourage them. You tell them a kind word. You take their prayer card. You assure them you'll be praying for them. People know when you're praying for them. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I know when someone's praying for me. You can sense it. In closing, turn to 3 John. 3 John. I should have said finally. That'd be a better word than saying in closing. Because I'm nowhere close to closing here. No, just kidding. I want to try to explain some words here in 3 John that show what a good steward of missionaries Gaius was. His name is found in verse 1. I preached about him recently in John. I preached a sermon recently on how to love others, and there's 4 points out of verses 1 and 2 on how John loved Gaius. Well, Gaius became quite a Christian and a good steward of the missionaries that came through his church. And I want you to notice the same thing we do, having missionaries come through our church, is what they do, and you can sense the spirit, if you look carefully at the words in 3 John, that back then they did the same thing. They had people who were coming through their church who were doing the Lord's work. They're described this way in verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they what? Went forth. These are your missionaries. Now they're called brethren in verse number 5. And we'll call them missionaries. But let's start at verse 4. And I just want to explain some things here on how you and I can be good stewards of missionaries and how important it is. In verse 4 it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Apparently John led Gaius to Christ. But have you ever led someone to Christ and then they never amounted to anything? I have. Sometimes you wonder if they even got saved. But boy, once in a while, someone really gets it. And they start not only getting saved, but walking in the truth. What's the truth? The Bible. They start conforming their life to what God says in the Scriptures. And it's a gradual change in all of us. There's no shortcuts to spirituality. I don't know of any. But it's wonderful when you get to lead someone to Christ and you see them begin to walk in the truth. It gives you joy. And he begins to compliment Gaius in verse 5 in Gaius' lifestyle. He said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, that's the saved, and to strangers, that's the unsaved. Or it could be the brethren, referring to the Jewish believers, and to the strangers, the Gentile believers. So just be faithful. Do faithfully to them what you're doing. Be good stewards of them. Now notice, they have testified in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. In other words, somehow John got to hear a whole bunch of people complimenting Gaius to him. I don't know how it went, but I think a whole bunch of these missionaries said, boy, that brother Gaius, he was such a help to us on our journey forward. And what a man, what love he had. Notice they bore witness of his charity. That's love before the church. That Gaius loved us, he helped us, he was faithful to us as we were going forward on our journey. Verse 6 says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou doest well. See those 5 words, underline them in verse 6. Bring forward on their journey. When you come to church next Sunday, you will see that those 5 words are the theme for our missions conference next week. That's our theme for missions conference next week. Bring forward on their journey. That's what we're all supposed to do. Some of them that you're meeting next week are journeying to France, some to Austria, some to India, some to South Africa, some to the Philippines. Brother Fielder personally just kind of works shotgun missions just all over the world. He's trying to help people. You know something? If our church could be a blessing to them, we will help bring them forward on their journey to France. Bring them forward on their journey to India. Bring them forward on their journey to Austria. And you know, we have missionaries in all 24 time zones. So that when you pray for missions, when you give to missions, while you're sleeping, your missions dollars are working somewhere around the world to reach people with the gospel. And I believe, I don't know how heaven works completely, but we're going to know a lot of things up there that we don't know now. That's what the Bible says. And I just got a feeling that in heaven we're going to meet people from India and Africa and the Philippines and Papua New Guinea and Austria and Australia and all these places. And they're going to come up to us. And they're going to say, somehow when God gives us knowledge, they're going to say, did you go to that church in Eden? Did you go to that chapel in Evans? Yes, I did, sir. He said, I want you to know you helped support a missionary that left your country. Came to our country. Told us how to be saved. Thank you for making that sacrifice. Thank you for helping bring them forward on their journey so they could get to me with the gospel. Now that's the dearest thing in the heart of God, is that everybody in this world sometime have a chance to hear the story of his son, Jesus Christ. Now I know everybody's excited here about the Bills being 4-1 and the Sabres being 3-1 and all that kind of stuff. That's great. I hope they win too. I'm all for the hometown team. But what excites God is when a missionary goes, or when you go out on a bus route, John, and a soul gets saved. Or somebody goes on visitation. The Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons that need not repent. They're not cheering up there about the Bills game today. All right, or about the Sabres game last night, or you know, about how much money we've earned or the nice addition we put onto our house. You think that impresses them and their mansions? But there's something we can do on earth here that not a one of them in heaven can do anymore. That's reach another soul. Get one more soul saved. It helps somebody escape eternal death, eternal hell, eternal lake of fire, by telling them Jesus saves. And if we can't go, we can send. We can help send. That's what Missions Conference is about, bringing them forward on their journey after a godly sword. Thou shalt do well. You want to do something good with your life? Help missionaries. Help missionaries. Let's close with verse number 7. And 8, because for his name's sake they went forth. Isn't that wonderful? Because they loved Jesus. They said, we're leaving our country. And we believe God's called us to go to such and such a place to win them to Christ. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. That means they didn't take money from the lost. They didn't take money from the government. Just whatever the church did and got behind them. Verse 8 is our verse in closing. We therefore ought to what? Receive such. That word received is synonymous with accept. We ought to accept them. We ought to receive them. When they come through this church next week, and anytime, we have them in almost once a month, some missionary. We ought to receive such. Why? That we may be fellow helpers to the truth. When you help missions, you are helping the truth. You're helping the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're helping the Bible to be taught and preached all over the world. And we ought to receive such. We ought to receive such. We ought to accept them as they come next week. Accept them. You know, just, man, by all means, be back Sunday night. Come Monday night for the dinner and the service and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And sometimes just your presence is an encouragement to them. Wow, all these people showed up to meet me. That means a lot to them. And your gifts to missions, we put it in a big pot here in this church and we send it out to all these missionaries. Sometimes if anyone ever asked me if I got any investments, I said, yeah, I got about 100 in my portfolio. Say, yeah, I got 100 investments. I said, not only does it bring me benefits in this life, it brings me benefits in the next life. Boy, then they really think you're nuts. But it is. They're the only investments you can give to that bring blessings in this life and in the next. Investments for eternity when we support missionaries. Let's help bring them forward on their journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time we've had in your word today. We thank you for people like Gaius. Help us to be like him, a fellow helper to the truth. Help us to receive such. Help us not to groan when Pastor Cole says we have a missionary tonight, but help us rather to say, praise God. We have somebody who's first in the church coming tonight, who has the highest gift, the highest calling, who's willing to go and try. Help us not to groan and miss out when the missions conference comes, but help it to be the most exciting week, Lord, in our church, because that's what you get excited about when a soul is saved. God, help us to be personal missionaries, soul winners here at home, trying to share the gospel with people around us here in America that have not yet accepted your Son as their Savior. Lord, help us to either go or to help send. And we pray, Lord, that you'd even come down and like that church in Antioch, that maybe this week coming up, next week, you would call some men from our church to the mission field. Lord, bring the boys and girls out. Bring the teens out. Help the parents to have the peace in their hearts that God can take care of them if God should call them. What an honor it would be as a parent to have a child give their life to our Lord's service. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, in just a moment we're going to sing a song of invitation. We do this at our church all the time. We have an altar call, is what it's called. Encourage people to come maybe to the front and just kneel down and pray to God. Between you and the Lord, nobody will bother you unless you want me to have someone pray with you. Maybe you got something really heavy on your heart. You'd like someone to pray with you. Let me know. I want you to come and pray for the missions conference. Maybe you have no heart for missions at all today. Maybe that God would give you a heart for what's important to him. Maybe you're here today and you don't know for sure if you're saved. You really don't know for sure if you're going to go to heaven someday. Maybe you got some doubts about that. You think you are, but you're not absolutely sure. God wrote the Bible so you could know that you have eternal life. And as we begin to sing, if you got some doubts, if you're only 50% or 75% or only 99% sure you're going to heaven, somebody can show you from the Bible a few verses, have a word of prayer with you to help you accept Christ as your Savior this morning. Somebody would be glad to talk to you just for a few moments. No pressure, just decision of your own will to say, I want Christ as my Savior. We invite you to come forward or go to the back. Let someone talk to you about how you can be saved. Wouldn't it be great if a whole life of sin that you've committed was just lifted and taken away from you today and your record was clean because Jesus the Savior just came into your life and cleansed you completely. That's what he does. I remember that day in my life. I never felt better in my life than when Jesus just took all my sin away when I asked him to be my Savior. Maybe you need to make that decision this morning. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. Our Heavenly Father, please help us. If there's some today that don't know the Lord as their Savior, help them to be willing to listen for a few moments to the gospel before they leave the building. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save them. Lord, I know you'd save them. I know you would. You said, all that the Father gives to me that shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord Jesus, there's never been a person who took one step towards you that you refused. You've never cast one sinner out who wanted to be saved, no matter how good they were, no matter how bad they were. Please save some souls. And help us, Lord, to be convinced today by your word what is important to you and what you have set as the utmost importance in the church. First apostles. Help us to be good stewards of the missionaries. And bless the rest of our service now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's